The Apostle Paul provides an object lesson when comparing a soldier's armor and weapons with those of the believer as we engage in spiritual warfare. On today, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright talks about the belt of truth, mentioned in Ephesians the 6th chapter and the 14th verse. In particular, he warns us about two things that cause disunity in the church: false teaching and wrong living. Let's listen as he continues our series on the armor of God with part two entitled, Get It Together. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Just a few quick notes. You know, when Elder Williamson would often quote that the scripture in Galatians that says, be not weary in well-doing, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, because you can start off real strong, but if you don't keep your pace and you don't keep faithful to the mission and keep your eye on the prize, then guess what happens? You're faint. You kind of wean off. Amen. Why do I say that? Well, weeks ago we had like awesome numbers to Sunday school. But it looked like we got weary in well-doing. So I want to encourage you all, amen, to continue on your journey of well-doing. This week I ran myself a little thin, and I apologize. I was not here today. I called myself operating as if I was living a high life. You know, working two jobs and then flying out to Dallas and then coming back to Michigan. Yeah, right. Wore myself out. But I'm going to be here faithfully. Amen. Yeah. And also, I ask that you remember Tuesday nights as well. That's where you get the meat and the heart of what God's word is all about. And I don't know if those lively discussions are still going on. They are? Okay. That's good. That's good. Keep the lively discussions going. Breaking bread together and digging deep into God's word. Amen? Amen. So last week, Easter, we kind of took a break from our series on the armor of God. But what is so deep and how awesome God is, that message actually fits right into this whole series of armor of God. Amen? You got to live right. And you got to be right. Amen? So today I will come before you all, and it by what's on my pad here, my iPad here, it seems like I'm going to be before you pretty short. That's what it looks like when I look at this. But we'll see. Amen. Title is Get It Together. And I'm coming from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 14a. 14a. If you have that, can you read that for me? Ephesians 6:14a. Mm-hmm. That's all. Read it one more time. Uh-huh. All right, all right. Wiggle. Wiggle is to move with irregular back and forward motion. And it means like motion. Wiggle. Jiggle. Jiggle means to shake just a little bit. Shake just a little bit. Wiggle. Jiggle. Keep that in mind. 2 weeks ago, we described Paul's situation and challenge before the Ephesians. He was in prison. He was writing this letter. More than likely, he was in prison in Rome. And when he was writing this letter, he not only wrote it to Ephesus, but all the surrounding cities that were around Ephesus. So we said that there were probably 230 independent communities within that Roman province in Asia. We also expressed that his goal was to unite these believers. Amen. And therefore, the theme of Ephesians is that believing Jews and believing Gentiles are one in Christ, and they now form the church. The church. The church goal, if he was preaching unity here, then every believer in the church should have the goal of unity. Of unity. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. But now we are they many, or though there are many members in the body, yet we are one body. Amen? Everyone in the church should be about unity. Personal goals, personal agendas, my way or the highway attitudes never should be the dominating theme within the church. Never should be. The greatest enemies of unity is false teaching and wrong living. False teaching and wrong living. False teaching. How can you stand on something that's not stable? It's shaky, right? Shaky. And he said this in Matthew's 7th chapter. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Amen. Right teaching establishes right foundation, right? And therefore it should lead to right living. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? So if the truth is not lived out right, that means people get to live without being repentant. Right? Which means if they're not repentant, or they show no repentance, they get to live how they want to live. Now, if they get to live how they want to live, that means that they can be about their own personal agendas and their personal goals. And it can be their way or the highway, right? And if we tolerate that, it can be within the church, right? Within the church. Here's the shocking news to you all, saints. Church is not for unbelievers. Church is not for unbelievers. Did you hear that? Shocking. It's not for unbelievers. Church, by its very definition, tells you that it's not for unbelievers. It says the church is a company of people, and I told you this. Church is a company of people called out from the world between Pentecost and the rapture, saved by marvelous grace and given the unique privilege of being the body of Christ. That's the church by its very definition. Church went wrong when they began to make the unrepentant comfortable. Right? Right? That's what we're all about. Trying to make them comfortable when they come. Right? Trying to make them comfortable. Come as you are. Turned into stay as you are. Right? Turn into stay as you are, my Lord. See, the church at best for the unbeliever is an information center. That's what it is. It's an information center for the not right on how to get right. Okay? That's what it is. So for the unsaved, the best place to get it together is here, right? But here's the twist, though. If you're not about getting it together, church can be the kind of like the worst place, because you're going to be accountable for all that truth you ignored. Think about it. So what does unity looks like? Well, unity looks like this. We speak the same thing, right? We avoid divisions and cliques. Huh? And we tune ourselves by the same standard. A.W. Tozer gave this great example. He said, you know, if you have 400 pianos and you try to tune them to themselves, you will have a wreck. But as soon as you get a tuner, right? As soon as you get a pitchfork and you tune that thing into lining up with that pitchfork, then all of a sudden, when you go one by one by one until you get to 400, all of a sudden they're on the same page because they had a standard. A standard, church. A standard. And that standard for us is truth, right? It's truth. And who said he was truth? Okay, all right, we're on the same page. All right, amen, amen. And church, God has given us this thing where we automatically admire togetherness. It's just almost innate. God has wired us to admire togetherness, right? Like togetherness. When we like folks that got themselves together, right? We like that. Like in choosing a person, right? Like for example, just about each week, Sister Kat tells me, "Hey, get some men up in here." They get some men. and the only thing I tell her is I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Say, get some men up in here. Single. Get some men up in here. Single. Right? Certain age. There's a health requirement. Right? There's a look requirement. I don't want nobody ugly, right? Right? And there's a financial requirement. I don't want nobody broke, right? See, we admire togetherness, right? We don't want to bring brothers here that can wiggle and jiggle on her, right? They got a course, right? They don't waver. They stay on path. Amen. I had the opportunity this week to fly down to Dallas, right, to see the church that Tony Evans pastored. Amazing. It was amazing in the sense that I saw togetherness, right? It was admirable because I saw organization, right? Professionalism. I saw ministry on one accord within the church. And I saw ministry on one accord that went out to the community. It was a beautiful thing to see. But what I noticed is that they had standards of operation. Standards of operation, right? Now, I'm sure that when you all had gotten into that mode of choosing a church and figuring out where you want to worship, I'm quite sure that you had some requirements, right? Some requirements, right? One of mine would be, I don't want no jacked up music. I don't. This is coming from me now. I wouldn't want, jacked up music. Scared preachers. I don't want no preachers coming up here not prepared. I'm talking for me. Amen? And I don't want folks looking at me sideways. Right? Not living right. Not trying to be right. Not even acting like they're interested in right living. Right? I don't want that. If I'm looking for a church, if I'm trying to figure out what church I want to go to and have my family be a part of. Right? I don't want no church full of cliques and not knowing how to love each other. Not knowing how to be on one accord. I don't want that. I wouldn't want it. Now, if that goes on, then my thought is I need to look towards the leader. Right? Because the leader ought to set the standard. Amen? I hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. A few years ago, talking about wiggling and jiggling. A few years ago, there was a fashion craze. And women were buying them by the multiple numbers. Even the women at our church got on the bandwagon and they were selling and buying them as well. I heard the conversations. And I thought to myself, like I usually think when I'm watching Shark Tank, why didn't I think of that? Man, why didn't I think of that? I could have been the first one to make a bodysuit that you can tuck everything into, and it makes you look as if you have lost 30 pounds. Huh? and your body would look as if it was spanked into it. No pun intended. It was intended. And you would look together. You would look together. That's what the suit said. And it was so successful, they came out with one for men. And you would look together, right? You would look together, right? No motion. No big motion. No little motion. You would look together, right? Together. Here's the thing. You would look together, right? You would look together. And you would look together for the shortest amount of time that you could stand. Because as soon as I get home, right? As soon as I get home, I don't care. Got to free myself, right? You would look together. Look together. Church, I don't want a church that looks together. I want a church that is together. Amen. Superficial stuff. It's over with. And it's time for standards. Amen. We have got to get ourselves together, not just this church, but church period. We've got to get ourselves together, and we have to line up with the standard. And I'm reminded of the story of Gideon, right? Where Gideon, the Lord had told Gideon to, you're going to go out and you're going to defeat these Midianites. I'm going to hand them to you. So I want you to gather yourself an army. And when he gathered himself an army, guess what the Lord told him? Too many. Too many. And then the Lord got it down. And he said, what I want you to do is tell those who's scared, they can go home. And they went. And a lot of them were scared and they left. Right? They left. But then all of a sudden the Lord said, still too many. Still too many. So the Lord said, here's what I'm going to do to you, for you. I want you to take them down by the water. And those, you're going to have some that will like lap like a dog. But then you have others that will stoop down and scoop and drink. Right? And when it got down to the river, there were 300 that lapped, right? And then all the other ones scooped. And the Lord said, send those scoopers home. All I need is the 300. Church, when you go by standards, you may lose some folks. But I'd rather have 300 that are faithful. I'd rather have a faithful few than some messed up stuff that's going on. There's got to be a standard, church. Amen. He says, stand. Stand. That was the first word in this verse. Stand. Stand. That means get your position together. You know, when my uncle and his friends were teaching me how to box when I was younger, there were like several weeks that we were just simply working on our stance. We had to stand a certain way. We had to either lead with the left or we had to lead with the right. Either way, you had to have your feet in the right position. You had to have your angle right, and they would come up to you and hit you in the chest real hard, and if you fell back, wrong stance. So then all of a sudden we had to work on it again, and then all of a sudden, if you can receive that hit in the chest without moving much, you had the right stance. Stand. Establish yourself. It's a position where you are ready for action. Right? Ready for action. But before you stand, there are certain things you must do. Right? There are things that you must do. And one of them is you have to gird yourself with truth. Right? We were just joking and just having a light heart about having it together, but that's exactly what truth does. Truth makes you have it together. When you look at the armor of the Roman soldier, the thing that was most pivotal is to have that belt on, because it kept everything together. Everything together. And matter of fact, it kept things together, and then you also got to hang things on it as well. So it was basic knowledge that you had to have a good belt. And what other belt is better than truth? You have to establish yourself on truth, not your truth. Not your truth. This is God's truth. God said that he is true. All throughout the Old Testament, it boasts about God being the God of truth. He is true. His character is truth. And in fact, you know what? He is the standard. So if you're comparing yourself to anyone else, that's wrong. He's the standard. You know, if you have a ruler, and this is like a ruler that they usually have in school, and they'll tell you that that ruler usually have a 1 here, a 0 here, and a 12 on the end, right? That ruler had to be made by something that says this is accurately 12 inches, right? And then all of a sudden, that thing that the ruler that was made from or of, guess what it had to be? Accurately set. It had to have a standard as well. It had to be made by something that said this is accurately 12 inches, right? But that thing which the ruler was made on, it had to have something that said what? This is 12 inches, right? But that thing had to also have something that said this is 12. When you run out, right? And then all of a sudden says, that's 12 inches. When you run out, that's God. He's the standard, right? That's the objective truth that we're talking about, not a subjective truth. I told you this all before. Subjective can lie to you, can it? I could come up in here and I could tell you all subjectively, that means me, myself, me, subject, inside. I can say, oh man, I got a headache. Oh, I have a headache. You have to take my word for it, right? You have to take my word for it. You're not in my head. You don't know if I have this headache or not, right? I can tell you I have a headache. Oh, I missed Sunday school because I had headache. That's why. But it's subjective, right? You don't know if it's fact or not. So what do you base that on, that I'm telling the truth? Well, on my character. If I done lied to you 100 times, you're going to say, oh, there he go again. Lying. Lying again. Right? But if I have established with you all that truth, that I tell the truth, then you're going to say, oh, do you need some Tylenol? You need some Motrin? See, you'll come to my aid then. You'll treat me differently. When Jesus came down here, he showed you nothing but grace and truth. Right? His character backed his words and his actions as well. Church, we have to live a life that is similar to that. And we have to go based on his standards and not ours. Oftentimes in this church, we may have winked and gave grace and mercy to something and to some things, even to a point where it has changed the standard. We say, oh, that's okay. No, the program was okay. God help us. Right? Programs flop. Things flop, and we say, you know, it's all right, you know. God help us. The Lord knows. Right? I didn't lose y'all, have I?
No.
Okay, all right. Right? And he's like, God knows. You know. Or they're a little late. God help them. God knows. Right? And to a point where all of a sudden we have understood until the standard has been shifted and the ministry that we're given is subpar. Excellent is not even on the chart. How do we get back there? How do we get back there? I'll tell you how we get back there. When I work with my clients on my job, my introduction to them is this. My name is Mr. Seawright. You will call me Mr. Seawright. You will not call me anything else but Mr. Seawright. Here is the deal. My standards are here. And they will not move for you. They will not move for you. If you try to move my standards, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And what I mean by trouble is I'm going to give your mother and your father a vacation from you. That's what it means. I'm going to have to put you away. And matter of fact, I say, if you lose your mind, I'm going to put you in a place where you can find it. And then, once you found it, ooh, yeah, I know. And I say, what? Once you found it, I'm going to let you go back home and be on the same page as your parents. Church, I have a standard at work. We ought to have a standard in church. Amen. If I got a standard on my job, we ought to have one here. Amen. It's a standard. Subpar is not good enough, church. I'm sorry. It's just not. In fact, it convicts me. And we should be all on the same page. Same page. Amen? There's no wiggle room. There's not even any jiggle room. We need to be on the same page. girded by truth. Truth is the standard. And before we can stand, that's what we should put on. So rather me tell you all, stand. The armor of God tells you layer by layer how to stand. And the first thing is putting on truth.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.